Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever.
Thank you, Peggy Lee. Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. You can tweet me at Bruce Salin. It is time for the Women's Room with Dr. Weberman. Dr. Jennifer Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive ways. She has been frequently and affectionately referred to as the Super Nanny of Springfield, as she has helped hundreds of families restore peace to their homes. Dr. Weberman now shares everything she has learned as a psychologist and parent coach on her blog, theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Thank you for having me. It feels like it's been so long, and I've definitely missed coming on.
Well, I love having you on. You are now a semi-regular, possibly and hopefully maybe a permanent regular as things develop. But I would love your thoughts on Thanksgiving, gratitude, anything that the column inspired, and also, as I've been asking all my guests, for you to share with us some of the best and worst things that you are thankful for this Thanksgiving, or not.
Well, there's always something to be grateful for, and I think when things happen like Hurricane Sandy over here on the East Coast, sometimes it helps us to become grateful for things that are so basic and so easily taken for granted. You know, we were without power for only 6 days, while some people are still without power and won't be restored until, you know, December or January. And I'm so grateful now for the lights, for the heat, for the food in my refrigerator that I can make hot or cold. Those are things that we, you know, were struggling to do for a week. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for my safety and the safety of my family, considering that other people didn't fare so well. So that's what I'm grateful for.
Well,
and then there was a second piece of that, wasn't there?
If there was a worst that you had, what we did at our dinner table is we allowed the kids as many bests as they had and only one worst.
Mm.
But and we always tried to make it not a global worst. So obviously a worst would be Hurricane Sandy or a tragedy. But I'm talking about something that affected you personally. But it's not necessary to go there at all. I'd rather hear more what you have to say about gratitude.
You know, parents who come to see me often complain when they feel that their children are spoiled and ungrateful. And
yeah,
you know,
I've never heard of that before.
So often, especially in this generation, so much is available to them and it's so easily accessible. And, you know, what I try to tell parents is that you're not born grateful. Gratitude is fostered, and it's something that needs to be nourished in children. And I think Thanksgiving is one of those times of year where we focus on it and then we forget about it again, kind of like New Year's resolutions or volunteering our time around Christmas. It's something that once the holiday passes, sometimes the thought passes from our intentions as well. And so what I help parents to do is to create that kind of environment of gratitude and appreciation in the home. And, you know, it's one of those trickle-down things. It starts with mom and dad or, you know, whoever the parental figure is in the house, and it goes down to the kids. One of the things that I always ask parents when they say, my kids are ungrateful, they don't appreciate anything we do for them, I ask them, well, how much are you complaining?
And how much are you modeling gratitude?
Yes, because when you complain, you're not modeling gratitude.
Exactly.
And granted, not everything is always good all the time, and I'm not saying it's bad to complain once in a while, but when you come home from work, you're complaining about having a terrible day, your boss is a jerk, complaining about the neighbors, their dogs on your lawn, and complaining about the traffic. It's, everything is so negative. What you're creating is an environment of negativity, and so children naturally are going to focus on the negative as well.
I think that's so true, you know, and it's so easy to counter that with, I mean, one of the things I do, and I'm far from perfect. I mean, there's no way that I'm not in the category of occasionally whining too much, but my wife cooks meals for us many times during the week. We eat out not that often. And I have, since the boys can, you know, even remember, I've always said thank you for dinner. I don't expect her to cook me a meal or us a meal. And in my current wife's case, my second and, God willing, last wife, she happens to make really good meals. So 95% of the time, I am just in heaven. Occasionally, I don't like something she's made, but even then, I will thank her for making us dinner, a fresh, full meal. She doesn't reheat or buy takeout. I mean, it's an incredible rarity. She makes a meal from scratch, a several-course complete meal. So the simple thing, and my boys thank her for every single meal that they have. So that's small, but it's big as far as what that teaches your children.
A thank you is something that's so simple and so significant. And for the person who you're saying it to, so that they know that their act of generosity and kindness was appreciated and seen, it's very meaningful.
I agree. I completely agree. I also think there's a great deal of power in saying I'm sorry from a parent to a child. There are times, of course, when the kids were younger, and especially when I was a single dad raising them alone, very stressful times, there were times when I would lose my temper and raise my voice. And I hated when that happened. I hated myself when that happened. But most of the time, I would get myself in check pretty quickly. And very soon thereafter, I would apologize. And my boys have heard I'm sorry from their father many times. And I don't think parents realize how powerful that can be, too.
Yes. You know, we've talked so much about the modeling piece with parenting. And that's one of the great aspects of it, that when you show them how you can clean up a mistake, it creates such a learning opportunity, because you're showing them it's okay to admit when you're wrong, and this is what you do about it. And it's so human.
Yes, yes. And when you're raising kids year after year after year, there's no parent that will not have made a mistake, number one, and no parent that can't make certain choices along the way that will educate and model the things you want your children to do, because you are their guidepost, especially when they're young. And there's a saying I remember hearing about Catholicism, that they said something like, give me the child till they're five and they're Catholic forever. It was not necessarily said in the most kind way towards Catholicism, but I would say the same thing about parenting. Give me parents that model goodness and kindness, and they will potentially make kind and good children. Because just like I think you said earlier, these things aren't necessarily natural. People aren't even naturally good. If they don't learn to be good, they naturally are probably going to be selfish and looking out for themselves. So giving doesn't come natural.
A muscle that needs to be built.
Exactly. So at Thanksgiving, what better chance than at the very least to talk about it at the table, at the very best to, in the course of the 4 days that is the Thanksgiving holiday, go help out at a soup kitchen, go to a homeless shelter, go visit the elderly that are alone at a nearby elderly place. Take the kids. Don't just party and go see whatever the great holiday movie is. Do something else, including as part of the whole thing. I don't say give up the fun, but if you have a mix of it, then the kids will learn that that's part of life.
And I would add to what you said, in that good, kind parents create good, kind children. A lot of times the children who are the most indulged and spoiled have really good, kind parents who are maybe misguided in their efforts to be good and kind to their children. And they see themselves as responsible for their children's happiness. And that's a really slippery slope.
Oh,
gosh. Make yourself
gosh.
Responsible for your children's happiness. Every time they're frustrated or unhappy because they can't have something, then you're going to feel inclined to make that better for them by giving them something else, a privilege, a toy, something that they want. And what you end up creating is a child with the opposite personality of the parent. A lot of these parents are hardworking, didn't come from money, built a business from the ground up, have really good work ethic, very appreciative, and have children who are overindulged and spoiled. And it's coming from an effort to be good and kind to your children, but what it's creating is a child who can't appreciate all the things that they have because they've never had to work for it.
I would suggest that, and I've observed that many times the parents that do that are doing it, in my opinion, out of a sense of guilt, especially in a dual working household where both mom and dad are working. They are not spending the time that they would ideally or even wish to spend with their children. So it's easier to just take care of that stuff by buying something extra, giving them an extra privilege, rather than make the bigger choice, which is how can one of us stay home and really be there on a more full-time basis? Some families, of course, don't have that option, but many do. And the more well-to-do families that you're speaking of that spoil their kids and then wonder why the kids are spoiled, I think many cases fit that model.
I think a lot of parents overindulge children, like you said, out of guilt. And then I think there are a group of parents who grew up without and remember the feeling of wanting and not being able to have, and maybe are trying to shelter their children from that feeling.
It's a horrible thing to shelter them
for.
Giving
and giving.
You know, it's funny. I just got a new car. And the boys are like wowed by the fact that I got a new car. But they know it's been 7 years since I got a car. And it was now around time that I needed to get a new car. And I think they learned a little bit of delayed gratification. I didn't buy a new car. The car that I replaced has over 200,000 miles on it. So I think that was a good lesson. And the irony is the fact that I waited so long, this new car means so much more to me than if I'd gotten one every 2 or 3 years. I am just so excited about it. And it's because I waited. And that's a good lesson. Listen,
and looking back into your childhood, do you remember the first thing that you bought with your own money?
Oh, yeah. I don't, because I barely remember my childhood. But that's another story. Listen, Dr. Jennifer, we are almost out of time. Quickly remind my listeners where they can find you.
TheParentingPlayground.com is our blog, and we're excited that we have a new writer, a dad writer, who's joined us this week that I met through Dad Chat. And you can like us on Facebook under the Parenting Playground.
By the way, you are welcome to carry my column on your website if you want. We could talk about that off air.
We should talk about that.
I distribute it all over the place at no charge, and you would be welcome to carry it if you wanted. I look forward to hopefully seeing you at Dad Chat tonight. Thank you again for joining me. We will be back for some final closing remarks after these commercials.